Our scripture reading today is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I don't know that I would have done that. Would you, Pastor Jim? Said, "It's going to be okay. You're going to have a baby." I don't think I'll ever do that to y'all. I don't think I'd ever do that to anybody. But it was kind of cool because I hope to believe that was kind of God-inspired, because Eli was really, he was the guy that was big dog in the temple, he was great in the church, but in his house he was a disaster. He had sons, and his sons were reprobates. Oh, I have more words, and the old me would have used them, but the me now won't use them. They were horrible men. They would take things they shouldn't out of the temple. They abused women in the temple. I didn't like them when I read that part. I didn't like them at all. You know, when we say we're gods, it'd be kind of nice if we understood what being gods was, that we love God and love others, and we don't take advantage of the poor. We don't take advantage of anyone. So I didn't like them, but Eli says to her, "You will have a son," and she says, now ladies, listen to this. She says, "If you will give me a son, I will dedicate him back and bring him to you." To you. Women, anybody in this room want to do that? I don't think so. But that's culturally where they were. That was a huge thing, to have your children serve in the temple. So, and this is the part that kind of makes my heart go, oh, she has a little boy, and she names him Samuel. And she loves little Samuel, like you do, little two-year-olds, little. They think it was probably, well, he was weaned, because in her mama's heart, it's time for him to go. Well, he's not weaned yet. He's not weaned yet. I don't know how many times she had to say that. But she finally went, "You're right. He's weaned. It's time for him to go." So she takes him. She takes him to the temple. And Eli starts teaching him the things of the temple, because there's an assumption that he's going to be part of that world. And this part in the scripture broke my heart. So you have to read above and around. You have to look around all in scripture. Do you do that? Because if you just take a piece of scripture and go, oh, that's what I'm going to live by, you're kind of selling God short. You need to look all around in there. Investigate a little bit. God bless you. So she takes him, and this is the part that kind of broke my heart a little bit. Every year she would go back to the temple, and she would make a little jacket or a little piece of clothing for her boy. So every year she would make a bigger little jacket and take, because she promised him to God. Let that settle in with you just a little bit, okay? Every year. I don't know what we're doing. What do you think what we're doing? I am short. You know, this is the funnest microphone in the whole world. You know who uses them? Let's go to this one. What do you say? Let's just go to this one. I used the word spandex upstairs a while ago, and Jim turned white, so he didn't want to know any more about that. How come I knew about this? I know I did. I said the word spandex again. Panicked him a little bit. But he trusts God that I won't mess this up too bad. I trust God. So she has taken this little jacket up every year and every year. And then we're starting to get into the story that we have heard today. So I want to give you a couple of thoughts. Because for the last 2 weeks, every time I have laid down to sleep at night, I've said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That is loaded for bear. Try it. Try it in the next week. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I said, "God, we're going to get together, and I want to give good words." And finally, it kind of came to me that I wanted to talk to you about each one of these persons' relationship with God. Eli started out being a God guy. It's obvious. Dedicated in the temple, it was his job, but yet he seemed to be a God guy, but somewhere along the line, along the way, he got lost. And when he got lost, he took his sons down that lost road. Do you hear that? Do you hear the things they were doing in the temple? And you're going, man, he even had friends who would come and say to him, "Eli, you know what those boys are doing?" If you've got a friend that's telling you something, you might want to listen. I get that. And he did nothing. So my brain goes, well, he worshiped his kids more than he worshiped God. Sound reasonable? Okay. But in the end of that, there's a piece that I want you to hear, because they all end up dying. Not particularly pretty deaths either. And I was in a little bit of a discussion group about this, and they said, well, you know, because God's revenge is real. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, well, okay. Because I like to listen to people. I really do. If you ever want to come talk to me, I love to listen to people. I love to hear your stories. And I said, what if you looked at it and said, you know, God is faithful in his justice. They knew they were doing wrong. And God was telling them, knock it off. God was sending people to say, Eli, your boys are messed up. Can you help them? You got to help them. You got to put a boundary. You got to do something. But he didn't. And in that, we hear that God is a just God. Justice prevailed, sadly, for them. But for the people they hurt, I'm thinking that's a thing. Still with me? So I learned from Eli, investigated that a little bit, and I thought, ooh, that could be about justice. God's justice. Then there's Hannah. And I thought, wow, God, where do you get all that? Because, man, she had a husband who loved her. She had another woman in her house who didn't love her and always gave her grief and had beautiful babies. That's a hard life, wasn't it? But Hannah kept going back to the temple, kept going back to the temple. So the word faithfulness came to me for Hannah. Faithfulness.
And if I ever say the word Sarah in there, it's because Sarah kind of had the same things going on in her life. Faithfulness. God's love. Faithfulness. Then we get down to little Samuel. And we love to preach about Samuel. And you know why we like to preach about Samuel? Because we get to tell you about a call. I do. I mean, I like to. Because everybody in this room's got a calling of some sort. So, Samuel, little guy, we think he was about 8 or 9. So you see how many years he was at the temple? Maybe 12. Somebody thought he might be up to 12 when this all starts happening. And I thought it was fascinating because it said, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Happens. The word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I want that to sink in for a minute. And Samuel, now this is, isn't that interesting? Samuel's like maybe 12. And it specifically says that he had not known the presence of the Lord yet. What's that all about? But here we go. The night, Eli's laying down. Little boy comes in. What? 12-year-old boy walks in. What? What? I heard you calling. I hope he said it softly and gently. Hello, I heard you calling softly. I hope that's what he did. I don't know if that's what he did or not. Have you ever been awakened in the middle of the night by a 12-year-old or a child? Okay. But I thought Eli did really well. No, it was not I. I want to vision him safely and sweetly saying, no, it was not I. Go back and rest. I'm not sure that's how it went, but that's how I'm going to look at it. And this happens how many times? Oh, you were listening. Yes. Because I want you to be able to talk about this story when you go to lunch after a while. Okay. I'm sure your waitress will love to hear the story. Or waiter. So on the third time, and this just tickles me no end, Eli goes, whoa, wonder if God's God's talking to him. I think that's pretty cool because I don't think Eli had been figuring any of this stuff out for some time by the way he was living his life. Maybe. And he tells the little guy to go back and lay down and say these words. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then that's what happens. And the Lord tells Samuel that Eli's going to die, that the boys are going to die. So the next day when Eli says, so, you know, it's God's, this is going to be great. What did God tell you? God's given you a vision of some sort, and it's going to be magnificent. Are we going to add on gold to the front of the temple? Am I going to get a new chariot? And Samuel didn't want to tell him, right? Would you want to tell your boss? Well, oh, by the way, God says you're going to be smote, and those nasty boys of you, they're going to go too. But he told him. And you know, Eli received it. There are three words that came out of all this scripture to me. And I want to share them with you. I think Eli's story is about justice. Because we're supposed to get something out of scripture, right? Everybody go, right? Okay, good. You're still with me. We don't just read it to, I don't know, check mark a box or something. We're really supposed to ask God to show us what we're supposed to get out of that piece of scripture. So out of Eli's piece, I go, oh, okay, there's God's justice. And out of Hannah's, I got, ooh, I think we're talking about faithfulness. We're hearing God's faithfulness. We're hearing her faithfulness. Then I got to Samuel, And we went, well, he's 12, God. And he really, his whole life, he didn't get to make any of these choices. God made these choices around him and for him. And so I wrote down, God is a God of justice for Eli. God is a God of faithfulness for Sarah. And out of Samuel, I got, God wants a personal relationship with us. You feel like you have a personal relationship with God? Some days it gets a little hard, doesn't it? Anybody had the news on lately? The bad things that are happening in the world. God, where are you? God, where are you? Well, God is a faithful God. God is a God of justice. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. So a couple nights ago, I laid down, I said, okay, God, I get it. We're going to talk about these guys, and we're going to talk about justice and faithfulness and a personal relationship with you. But what do you want me to say to the congregation of First United Methodist Church, Lebanon? Because that's what we do. That's our gig, is to hopefully enlighten you with something that God has given us to say to you. So here's what I kind of came away with, because I kept going back to that piece of Scripture. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I think we need to work on visions here. Maybe. I think we need to get a clear vision of what each one of us is doing. You know what your vision is? Have you had a vision lately? Boy, that put you on the spot. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. That was totally crazy. But I put myself on the spot. I thought, oh, Lord, Marsha, what is your vision? We need personal visions. But what is the church's vision? Anybody got any thoughts? Take a big, deep breath in. Let it out. See, it's the microphone. If I had that microphone on right now, we would be doing jumping jacks. I don't know how to do them anymore. It does take certain physicality to do a jumping jack. Try it after church. Don't break a hip. Visions. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to be asking you right now and in the days to come, because we've been talking a lot about it. We've got a new, an adaptive change. I'm so excited about that. We talk about all the different things that we'd like for this church. You know you're part of that, right? Everybody go, yes. Okay, good. You're part of this. Jim and I can have a vision. We've had visions. We've had great talks. He's amazing. We've got visions. But you know what? You're the vision makers. You are. So I'm going to ask you to pray every day, twice a day this week, morning and night. The morning one is how much you're thankful for everything. It's a Thanksgiving prayer. And the night one is, what is our vision? Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Wouldn't that be fun? It'll be scary, though, I promise you. If it doesn't scare you just a little bit, you're not visioning big enough, they say. I don't know about that. So today, as we've heard the story about little Samuel and Eli and Hannah, I hope you'll take home with you a thought of what's your thoughts on visions. Eli had a vision once. He had to have had a vision once. He had to have had a vision once, but he lost his vision. Hannah had a vision. But in her, do you know what the word importunate means? To ask incessantly to the point of bugging people to death. Importunate. She was importunate in her asking. Her vision was a child. Samuel ended up having visions. He became one of the most widely known leaders. He was a priest. He was a judge. He was in leadership everywhere because he understood that God's vision for him was to be a God guy. I think God's vision for all of us is to be God people, don't you think? Jim, who says, why are we not more holy? Was that Wesley or was it, I don't know who it was, one of those old guys. Problem with some of us is we're Christians, but why are we not more holy? Because the word holy scares us. But I think holy has to be part of the vision. I just do. Makes sense to me. I'm just a pretty simple-minded person, but I think holiness has got to be part of it. So this week, I'd ask you to pray for vision. Anybody in? Will you consider it? I don't see anybody going, yeah. Go, well, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Praying for a vision for this church would be a really good thing because God is listening. And more importantly, God is speaking. Ooh, this could be fun, Jim. I don't know. I think it'd be super fun. Let's pray together. Holy God, I've rambled around for 20 minutes. And so I hope, God, that you will bless these words, that they will settle on people's hearts, that they can feel that your love is a love that reaches into justice, that reaches into faithfulness, that reaches into personal relationships with us. Because that's the only way we're going to get a vision, God. And so we're praying for vision. To be, to do your holy work in Lebanon, Missouri, and the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.